Richard, Richard De Valeris, but it's Richie. After 49, nearly 50 years in Western Australia, no one says Richard or Benjamin. It's Ben or Richie or Davo or Jono, Albo, our Prime Minister. It's not Anthony. Richard De Valeris, baptismal certificate, passport, but Richie. I was born in Rangoon in 1952. Historically, Rangoon was established by the British. The very name Rangoon itself is anglicized version of Yangon. My school, the school that I went to, had a mini zoo. So we had all these animals, reptiles, we had monkeys, beautiful parrots, all kinds of snakes. Now, one of the reasons why I chose to come to Australia is when the military coup took over the country in 1962, which began in 1962, and it's still going on now, but that's a separate story as well. Back then, I was just a young boy, 10 years old. But as the military mismanaged the country and squandered all the wealth of the country and became despotic, the education system deteriorated. Everything deteriorated. The country went backwards for the worse. And people like myself had to get out because we were of mixed race. My mother being of Irish extract, she spoke four languages and she held a British passport. So we could not continue our education. This general who took over the country in a military coup d'etat isolated Burma. There are no foreigners allowed to visit. No one could speak against the ruling military junta, and all opposition was extinguished. It was a dictatorship. So we had to decide where we're going. I said, I don't want to go to England. It's too cold. Canada is too far. They're all British colonies. So I said, Australia, oh, well, I like the Southern Cross and the Union Jack, and it's got beautiful weather. So, oh, well, I'm going to Perth. And that's it. So I applied to come to Perth. And it didn't take me long, but as soon as I got my passport and my visa, and that was it. Of course, we have to have clearance to get an exit permit. So in other words, if you want to leave the country, like a police record, if you hadn't been politically agitator or all the rules they have. So if you don't break any of those rules, they let you leave the country. We have to declare that I shall never return. The opposite of General MacArthur, Douglas MacArthur says, I shall return. But in our case, when you leave Burma, you have to declare a document, say that never to return. You leave for life. For good, leaving the country for good, because you are not desirable. You know, persona non gratia. You go, don't come back. So I left in 1973. I landed in Perth. I arrived about 12:30 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and it was almost winter. I think late autumn. It was nice. The different atmosphere of Perth Airport. So beautiful it was. I had to step down from the plane and walk tarmac. There was no tubes and all, you know. We were talking about an airport that had wooden floorboards. It was beautiful. And the taxi driver, I had about $7 in my pocket. You know, that's all I had, $7. Seven Australian dollars. Yeah. It was so nice, though. So peaceful. That's the thing I noticed. It was peaceful. And that was a great thing, to have quiet, peace and order. My friend, he says, let's go and see this place, Fremantle. He said, you'd like the place. It's an old old part of Perth. I said, okay, so we went. And we drove down the Stirling Highway. And then as I was approaching the Fremantle, I saw this the port, the dockyard. And I sort of, it felt like a deja vu. I said, this place reminds me of Rangoon. It had the port, the cranes, the railway, the railroad, and then the Stirling Highway, which we call, in Rangoon, it was called the Strand. It looked just like Rangoon. Then I said, of course. And says, you can well blame it on the British, isn't it? They look so much alike. Rangoon Port City, established by the British. Fremantle Port City, established by the British. There you go. That's the connection. And my most happy memory of Fremantle was the bookshop, the down-to-earth bookshop, Say No More. I was hooked on it. Every time I'd come down, I was working in the mines. I went to the mines very early in the 70s. So whenever we had the chance to come down, first thing I'd like to do, I wanted to do, was to go to Fremantle, or those days say, I'm just going to go to Frio, mate, you know. But it was the bookshop, down-to-earth bookshop, and all the books I loved. Politics, literature, history, you know, all kinds. And one of the books that I remember and I bought, actually not one, I bought a few later on, was by the writer Charles Bukowski. And the title of the book really grabbed my attention. It was like North of No South. And it was all short stories. I never ever put that book down for the next 6 weeks or 7 weeks. Charles Bukowski, you probably heard about him. He's amazing. So that was the 70s. It was lovely, you know. So when I was in studying in Edith Cowan University, I did philosophy and Asian studies as a major. So, and this one, my studies there, I had a few friends, and then we were always talking in the pub, you know, about things, about Burma and things like that. And one of them suggested, why don't we do something for the children on the Thai-Burma border, the refugees? Why don't we build a school? And I said, you know, I'd like to do that, but we need some money. And this friend, he suggested, he says, we could do a fundraiser in the Swan basement. And I composed this song for Burma, and then we did a fundraiser, and I put in my own savings as well. And we went and we managed to build a school, and we built another school. So we built two schools. So one on the Burma side, and another on the Thai side. So we managed to build two schools. The four of us went there when the school was finished, completed, and the opening ceremony, and we enjoyed it with the children there. It just brought back memories of 1974, 73, when I first went to Fremantle. And here I was fundraising, you know, in 2006, 2005. So after all these years, so Fremantle, yes, my good old Frio, happy memories.